Privilege to be together with y'all. I'm saying that on Trisha's behalf, y'all. And Trisha. Trisha and Trisha. You know, they're both their names are Patricia Ann. Yeah, that's right. Give away these little facts, huh? This morning I'm going to be sharing on a topic called the most important thing in life. And a number of years ago, I hesitate to say how many years ago, I was 15 years old, and I was in a membership class at the Presbyterian Church, the First Presbyterian Church of Clinton, Iowa, and it was called the Communicants class. Maybe some of you have been in something similar, a confirmation class. I see Jeffrey raising his hand back there. But this would be an environment where they would educate you and teach you potentially about the doctrines of the church. Especially, I imagine, in Roman Catholicism, they teach you quite in depth about the doctrines and the practices of the church and how to do this and that. And I don't know any Catholic who was ever groomed in the Catholic Church who did not know how to say the Hail Mary, right? And we're still contending with that, right? But here I am, I'm in the Presbyterian membership class, I'm a young person, I have no idea what they're really saying or talking about. I don't think my mind was really engaged in the things of God at that point in time in my young life. But there came a point in time in the sort of the process that you would actually be confirmed as a member of the church. And to do this, the communicants class was to appear in front of the larger body of the congregation on a Sunday morning. And anybody in here ever experienced anything like this? I see a couple of hands. Yeah. And then what they would do is they would ask, there would be a moderator kind of, and you know, here's these kids, whatever. And then each child, young person would be asked one question. And then you had to respond, you know, and you come in a Sunday morning. This is like, I'm not saying it's as big as that Episcopal cathedral where they did the funeral for the late president. I don't know if any of you saw that on television, but that place was ornate. I can only imagine what it's like in Italy and some of these other places. But anyway, it was a very beautiful church, stone. Sunday morning, you know, you come in kind of in the front of the church and, you know, maybe there's 150, 200 people in there and you're kind of, you know, a little bit nervous about all that. And so it comes to my turn and the moderator, whomever this person is on the microphone and then they're going to hand me the microphone for my answer. So my confirmation class in front of the church that morning, 15 years old, is what is the most important thing in life? You know what's really, really interesting is I have spent almost my entire adult life pursuing the answer to this question. The answer to that question, what is the most important thing in life on that day, was to know God and to obey his will. I have spent the greater portion of my life in the quest of getting to know God and his son, Jesus Christ, and learning to put into practice what the Word of God says. I want to put Jeffrey, put that first scripture up, please. Great verse here. You're familiar with it, Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Isn't that beautiful? This is a little different translation. You can see that. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. But the reality is just learning how to live with God. Living in a relationship with God, experiencing God, in the presence of God. And then you begin to realize it's God's presence who lives within us. So ministry. It's not so much about us endeavoring and struggling to get into the presence of God. Maybe it's the reality of accepting that the presence of God lives in us by nothing that we did. Because we couldn't get ourselves good enough, you know, to accept that gift. And how many still deal with the unworthiness of, I'm not able or capable, or I'm unworthy of retaining this gift. People have different thoughts and opinions about different translations. This is Psalm 27:4 from the Passion Translation. Here's one thing I crave from God. The one thing I seek above all else, I want the privilege of living with Him every moment in His house. Finding the sweet loveliness of His face, filled with awe, delighting in His glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to Him that He takes pleasure in my every prayer. Boy, you talk about the most important thing in life. A lot of things get in there, distractions, things we have to do in the course of daily living. But isn't it interesting, over the course of our lives, the things that we have deemed important? And then someone close to you passes away, or you're at a funeral or a wedding or a birth of a child or something like that. And all of a sudden, all these things just go away, and you start to see a little bit more clearly the path and how fragile life is and how quickly life is going by. And how much we truly do have to be thankful for that God Almighty has called us and placed us in this incredible position to enjoy the benefit of being made righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. That's where God's love shined most brightly. And man was granted by grace the greatest of all opportunities to enter the throne room of God's presence, to enjoy rich, complete, intimate fellowship, and to offer genuine praise with freedom. Let's look at this verse, Psalm 53. Wow. Why was man created? To fumble around down here in life trying to figure out how to get the most material possessions possible? What is the purpose of man? Well, look what Psalm 50, verse 3 says. Can't be Psalm 50. 23. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show thou salvation of God. Whosoever offereth praise glorifies me. The purpose of man being created and designed was with the innate ability to offer praise and thanksgiving to God Almighty. Praise delivers. Praise completes you. Praise delivers. I mean, I sat down at 4 o'clock this morning and wrote a list of about 20 or 30 things that praise does. Praise gets your mind off your problems. Praise gets your mind off of you. I got a little simple, very simple thing, solution that you can put into practice immediately. Quit looking at the problem and start praising. How about that one? Quit looking at the problem, because the problem magnifies itself. Is God bigger than any problem? Is He? Yes, God is bigger than any problem. Then why do we allow problems to become so magnified? Health issues, financial issues, mental issues, relationship issues. Fill in the blank like that text message, right? What is the thing that exalts itself so highly in our hearts and lives that it somehow exceeds our ability to offer praise to God by our free will? That can only be a deception of the enemy. Because if I seem to remember correctly, The one thing the enemy wanted in the beginning when he fell was what? Praise. He wanted to be like the Most High God. Don't remember that story? So wouldn't it make sense logically that the thing that the enemy would try to do is get you distracted somehow, someplace, by something, so you keep your eyes off of God and keep away from it? Let's look at Psalm 92, 1 and 2. The most important thing in life. We're going to answer this question this morning. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. I can't even begin to tell you how many records there are. I know 100 verses that I've been reading that have to do with the topic of praise in the Bible. And actually, there's a challenge that is set down in this particular little study by Don Gossett called There's Dynamite in Praise. And that is to retemorize 100 verses that have to do with praise. To write them down on 3x5 cards with the scripture reference on one side and the verse written out on the other side, and take one verse day by day and retemorize the Word of God. Oh, man, that looks hard, doesn't it? I don't do very well retemorizing the Word. Wow. There are so many great things that we can discipline and work in our minds, but that's what it takes. And you say things like this. I can memorize God's word. God says I can, so I can. No matter what I think of myself, I can do it. Regardless of my age, I can memorize God's word. In spite of my past failures, I can now memorize God's word. When it seems hard, I refuse to give up. When it appears I'm slipping, I know God is helping me. I will not forget thy word. Psalm 119, 16. Why am I so sure? God makes me sure. That's why. It is so important to allow that word of God to get into our heart. How does that happen? Osmosis? You play a CD at night, and somehow in the middle of the night, you're hearing these things. So you wake up in the morning, and you're hearing it, you're getting it. I'll tell you what it takes. You making a decision day by day to incorporate what we're talking about right here into your day-by-day life. Is your salvation conditional upon it? Absolutely not. But the quality of your life, I can almost guarantee you, will be conditioned by your willingness and desire to put into application what I'm talking about here. I'll read you something here. The attitude of gratitude is one that must be cultivated. Seven times a day do I praise thee, it says in Psalm 119, 164. So here's what Don Gossett says. You set aside seven times a day to praise the Lord. It will produce wonders in your life. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. During the first week of each month, rise at midnight to give thanks unto the Lord. I guarantee you, you will have a closer walk with God than you ever have known. What? Midnight? Get up? Praise God? Are you kidding me? That's my prime sleep hours. Praising God and expressing gratitude to Him is one of the most important occupations of any Christian. That is why the psalmist said, why do we have the Holy Spirit? The Father seeks such that should worship Him in spirit and in truth. One of the greatest benefits of being able to have the Spirit is to be able to worship and to praise God perfectly in a language that He understands. It is the greatest occupation of the believer. I thought that was cool. We have Psalm 34 up there, Jeffrey, somewhere. We can read this. I will bless the Lord at what? How many? How long? All times. You know what that means? You remember Paul saying something about more than y'all? More than y'all? Trish. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He saw something and a benefit to it. Here's David saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. Isn't it something about those words just make you want to lift your hands, right? Praise the Lord. Magnify God. But man, I'll tell you what, an Oklahoma football game, we'll be jumping all over everywhere. But get to come and praising God. Oh, no. No. You know, I somebody might be seeing me do that. You know, I don't want to be like one of them crazy Pentecostals, you know. How do you express your praise to God? You know, most people have a hard time even lifting their hands. Even one hand. We're getting better, okay? I mean, it's only been within the last year or so for me that I've really felt free enough. But Bert, Jan, Alta, Vicky, a lot of these people have been much more proactive. They've been getting freer because it's much more about God than it is about us. See? You know what? And when I see you, if you're celebrating and praising God, you know what? You don't look weird to me. I think you're free. I'm envying you. I think it's awesome. But they must have had something special in the Old Testament because these people danced. They praised. They did all sorts of crazy things with music. And oh, no, we can't do that now. Oh, no. Why? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Why? Inventors have given us remarkable discoveries and inventions that have made living easier and happier. Writers have compiled many volumes of excellent literature. Singers have been gifted to hold great audiences spellbound by their talented voices. Artists with rare ability have drawn magnificent pictures, and we marvel at their work. Presidents and kings have executed some revolutionizing judgments that have changed the course of nations. But none of the world's greatest men and women have ever done anything half as great as when a child of God praises, exalts, and glorifies God. Amen? Can I get a hallelujah on that, huh? Oh, my gosh. The world has its accolades. Did any of you see the funeral for George Bush? This was like the queen. I mean, the king. It was, and I'm not saying it wasn't emotionally moving at times. It was. But what has God given to us? See, it says in Psalms that God inhabits the praises of his people. God gets so blessed when we are praising him. Why? Because we want something? No, because we love God. We just want to be with him. We just want to thank him. What if it was today was the last day of your life? We were created by Almighty God so that we might have fellowship and communion with him. And we are told in Psalms that our utmost purpose in being created was to praise the Lord and give him glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's dynamite in praise, just like the name of this book. Allison was talking to me about this book. I just said, oh, I love this subject. Because I was reading another book called Praise Works, another one called Power in Praise, Prison to Praise. Joyce Myers wrote a book, The Battle Belongs to the Lord, Overcoming Life's Struggles Through the Power of What? Praise, praise. Man, I'll tell you, it is what the devil does not want Christians doing. He does not want Christians joyful, making a scene. He wants them very self-conscious, sin-conscious, condemned, intellectual, depressed, discouraged, always talking about problems. Wow. You remember somebody once said, I wouldn't go to church with you either. Remember that statement? Huh? It's like, what are we really exhibiting? What are we giving off? Oh, do we have something people really want? I want to show this video here. You'll get a kick out of this. This is fun.
Give me that bass.
Somebody give me that tenor.
Somebody give me that baritone with a whole lot of soul in it.
Somebody give me that gospel truth and then let's all sing it in the hallelujah band.
Somebody give me that guitar.
Somebody give me those drums.
Somebody give me that bass line. Do it like it's never been done.
Somebody give me that solid rock and then let's all play it in a hallelujah band. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I sing for all the good Lord's done for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing it on for all eternity.
Somebody give me that quarter.
Somebody give me that eight note.
Somebody give me that half time and let it go.
Somebody give me that sweet, sweet song and then let's all sing it in the hallelujah band.
Taste of heaven there. I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of praising going on in heaven. I don't know if you know that yet. You know, you don't have to wait until you get there. okay? We can be doing it right down here on planet Earth. It's not a sin to praise. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's incredible. You know, praise is the language of heaven. It is the language of heaven. Think about that. It's the true expression of a thankful heart. It's the song of lovers. Who do you love first and foremost in your life? Your dog? Your clothes? Your life? Your whatever? God says, two simple little things, supposedly. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's pretty much everything that there is within you. And to love others as yourself. You want simple? Most important thing in life? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything that is within you and everything you have, you love God with it. That means your money, your house, your car, your life, your attitude, your thoughts, your praises. What does it do, this praise? It encourages beautifully. It gives unselfishly. It edifies perfectly. It strengthens immediately. God woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning. I was like, I'm thinking about these things. I finally just got up and I said, I'm going into the office. I don't really want to get up right now. But so I don't forget this, I'm going into my office. I'm just going to write some of these things down. So at least in the morning, I'll be able to sort of pick it up where my mind was. It edifies perfectly. It strengthens immediately. It honors respectfully. It releases power dynamically. It loves unconditionally. It frees unceasingly. It heals appropriately. It delivers deliberately. It comforts tenderly. Oh, to the day I die, I will never forget the teaching that this lady right here did in our living room, Trish. It was a perfect example. And this is what it was like. She'll remember this. She probably already does. You know, Judy, there's so many things I really love about you. You have such a tender heart and such a beautiful, gracious manner about you that when people around you, they just get blessed. They're thankful for you. You just are always encouraging. Remember this? You know what that is? That's praise. Who does not crave that? To be told you're doing something right. You know, most of the time you're being told you're doing something wrong. You know, can I ever do anything right, you feel like sometimes? But to actually have, we went around the room and talked to each person in that fellowship. How honored. I think Trish actually went around the room and spoke to every person. About a characteristic or a trait in their life. You remember this? That she just felt was so honoring and so praiseworthy. And, you know, the response was just, it was like that the words were sort of the manifestation of God's love on this level. This level. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. How do you do that? A lot of times it's this stuff. Man, those words are powerful. Wow. I've been hurt physically at times by getting myself cut and different. But I'll tell you the thing that hurts me deeper is the words. Words. What does praise do? It expresses itself perfectly, radiates magnificently, and it cherishes unreservedly. The next slide here, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We have a choice in life. This is the exhortation of God to the model church. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Uh-oh. Thanks in all circumstances, even when you don't have a job, even when you don't have money, even when your health is less than the best, even when you're kind of feeling depressed, discouraged, disappointed, when things aren't looking so well. We have a choice to make. It doesn't say, thank God you put me in these things. But thank God I am where I am today, because it's going to be the proving ground for the faithfulness of God's word, if needed, to deliver me. Because God's word is faithful, and if it worked perfectly every time in every situation, and you never had any challenges, how would you ever grow? You want to be patient? You're going to be in situations that are going to definitely make you impatient. Before you can exercise the quality of learning what it's like to be patient. And true with a lot of other things too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus concerning you. There is testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony that record the benefits of praise in a practical way in people's lives who had major health problems, major financial difficulties, major things. Praise. Quit looking at the problem. Praise. This doesn't say, this says rejoice evermore. Pray continually, give thanks. Not that you don't have an awareness of the issue. Give thanks in all circumstances. And many times when you begin to do that, the circumstances change. See? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to do this? What's going on? Talk about worrying anxiety. I was going to put this photo up here. It was a really cool little thing. It says, you mean stress balls aren't to throw at the people who stress you out? Right? Stress happens in our lives in distress by us taking personal ownership of these type of situations and trying to figure them out on our own. You're not big enough. I'm not big enough. I've done this. It's ugly. It just takes so much out of you. See. So we could quit looking at the problem. God is bigger than the problem. Let's just look at God. Praise God. Thank you, God. I love you. You're awesome. And guess what else I can do? I can speak in tongues, which, according to what I understand and see, is perfect praise. See, we are in a spiritual war. And the enemy wants to take it away from you and prove to others it doesn't work. We'll look at them. It doesn't work. Wow. So many cool things, man. We got to close at some point, though. Many of you have this in your library. Volume 5, Order My Steps in Thy Word. Just a small section in here I'd like to read in closing. So beautiful. Oh, the wonder of the architect, the marvel of the creator, the might of the sustainer of this great universe of ours. If the earth is the reason for the stellar heavens, what is the reason for the earth? Before the morning stars sang their first anthem to the heart of the lonely Father God, before the foundations of the earth were laid, before the first rays of light ever passed through the dark expanse, the heart of the great Creator God had a yearning, deep, mighty, and eternal. It was the primordial passion for children. The father heart of the Creator God longed for sons and daughters. The yearning passion took form, and God planned a universe for his man. And in the heart of that universe, he purposed a home. There's no time with God. Time belongs to day and night, to sun and moon. The omnipotent God was not hampered by days, nor nights, nor years. When love laid the foundations of this mighty universe, he planned, he purposed it all to be the home of his man. It was to be man's birthplace, man's garden of delight, man's university. Well, he would learn to know his Father God. God said that the earth is the reason for the universe. Man is the reason for the earth, and God is the reason for man. Why did God do all this? The reason, very simple. God wanted sons to love him. He wanted daughters to love him, not by compulsion, not out of necessity, but because of their desire to do so, to operate their free will to, oh, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. God so loved that he gave so that we in turn can love him and live our lives for him. God's heart yearns for children. He craves sons and daughters who will freely love him. Before God had children, he had angels to minister to him as servants, but he still wanted children. So with love's wonderful guiding hand, God prepared the earth and the heavens for his children. If this be true, and I do believe it, and I think many of us concur with this, and I believe it is true according to God's word, then man is the most wonderful of all of God's creations. And everything in the earth, in the universe, is for the person who is God's child. Unbelievers also partake of the blessings of the universe and of the earth, but these blessings were not designed for unbelievers. The blessings were designed for God's children. If God so wanted children and so loved sons and daughters that he spent ages in preparation for them, what a wonderful place those children must hold in his heart and in his eternity. You, as a believer, a son or daughter of God, are the culmination of God's dream, because you are God's man. You are God's woman. The earth was made for you. You were made for God. He's your father who loves you. This is truly God's blueprint for creation, that men and women such as ourselves in this humble Point Loma assembly would willingly offer our lives in sacrifice of praise to God Almighty. The most important thing in life, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love others as yourself. In that process, you will find yourself praising God, thanking God for all the wonderful and bountiful blessings that he has really poured into our lives. Amen?
Amen. All right.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your gracious goodness. Oh my gosh, how do we even begin to say it in words, Father? How mighty you are, how powerful you are, how glorious you are. And yet it all comes down to love, that you just wanted us to have a simple relationship with you. So break the bondage of the burdens of whatever it is we carry around and allow us just to Enjoy the blessings of being right there in your throne room of grace, Father. Just bowing before your throne and getting ready for eternity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.